Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Thank you very much. Take your Bibles, turn to 2 Samuel. Sitting back there next to my beautiful mother. Love you, Mom. And was talking with some folks that are about my age back there. I said, "You gonna get up there and get in the games?" He said, "My days with red cups are over." I thought, I couldn't stop laughing. The days with games and red cups are finished. How many of you know what that means? Somebody say hallelujah. My gosh, I couldn't stop laughing. Very grateful your days with red cups are completed. If you're here and you're still playing games with red cups, you can be set free. If you understand what I'm saying, if you don't, God bless you in your purity. 2 Samuel chapter 23. Red cups is what they serve alcohol and beer in, generally, at parties all around the world. And I'm grateful that people are not bound by the red cup spirit anymore. 2 Samuel 23, turn there with me, please. The making of mighty men. The making of mighty men. And what I want to say is not just men, of course, mankind. Stand on your feet if you're able. Let's get into God's word tonight. A leadership lesson and a time of encouragement, because all of us have influence. All of us are leaders in some capacity, whether you realize it or not. 2 Samuel chapter 23 and verse 8 from the New King James Version tonight. Are you ready? Let's go. These are the names of the mighty men whom David had. Wow. Maybe I should open in prayer. Joshebeth, the Tekamonite. All right, that's going to be my effort on that one. Chief among the captains, he was called, my God. No, he wasn't called that. He had another name because he killed 800 men at one time. After him was Eleazar, son of Dodo. Son of who? Dodo, the Ohoahite. Where did that snort come from? One of the three mighty men with David were in verse 9 and defied the Philistines who were gathered there for battle, and the men of Israel who had retreated. Verse 10, he arose and attacked the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand struck to the sword. The Lord brought about a great victory that day. And the people returned after him only to the plunder. Verse 11, after him was Shammah, I got that one, the son of Agi, the Hararite. The Philistines had gathered together into a troop where there was a piece of ground full of lentils, a picture of harvest time. So the people fled from the Philistines. But, everybody say but. But he stationed himself in the middle of the field, defending it, and killed the Philistines, so the Lord brought about a great victory. Go to verse 18 of that same chapter. Now Abishai, the brother of Joab, the son of Zeruiah, the chief, was a chief of another three. He lifted his spear against 300 men, killed them, and won a name among these three. He won a what? He won a name among these three. Was he not the most honored of three? Therefore, he became their captain. However, he did not attain to the first three. Benaniah was the son of If you realize I could hardly say my own name, it's a miracle what's happening right now. The son of this guy won a name among the three mighty men. He was more honored than the 30, but he did not attain to the first three. And David appointed him over his guard. Thank the Lord. The reading of the text is over. Father, thank you. Move in power. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to three or four people and say, you're going to be one of the mighty ones. I think it's amazing to me that God could, you know, God could just sweep across the land. Just take care of everything. Angels could preach the gospel, wouldn't have to have any evangelists. I mean, if God could just do it all, and he could, but he chose not to. He chose to partner with us. I mean, why is that? It's amazing to me because, my goodness, I would convince that angels would do a far better job of preaching. Can you imagine if a big angel came and preached? But we're supposed to preach the gospel. We're supposed to lead in worship. We're supposed to do what God's called us to do. And what does that say to you? What does that say to me? I'll tell you what it says, is that you're important to God. You're important. You're important. Every single person here is important to God. God doesn't have insignificant people. He has people on task. He has people that are created in his image, made his child by being born again. And because God works through his servants to accomplish his will, that makes you important. Come on, someone say, I'm important. That's not arrogant, that's biblical. You are important. God's looking for someone. His eyes are going to and fro, looking for a man, looking for a woman whose heart is steadfast towards him. So you see, the Lord gave victory wherever David went. 2 Samuel 8 and 6, same phrase is repeated. So there's a kingdom leadership principle here, and it's so simple that you might miss it. It takes a team. It's not one person. It's not David. It's not just David. It's a team of people that come together to accomplish his will. David held all these incredible victories, but the key to his victories was those that he raised up around him. God's working through them. The Lord brought about a great victory. So let's look at this text now. To get a fuller picture, you need to look at a corollary text in 1 Chronicles 11. 1 Chronicles 22, you see 400 men joined him there. Therefore, David departed. 1 Chronicles 22, verse 1. Therefore, David departed and escaped to the cave of Adullam. So when his brothers and all his father's house heard of it, they went down to him there. God begins to gather these people. The cave of Adullam really becomes a leadership womb, if you could say it that way. It becomes this place where leaders are trained. It's this rustic apostolic training center. And that really, that 1 Samuel 22 marks a turning point in David's journey, being anointed to be the next king, but going from pillar to post for a run from a demonized King Saul. And God gathers to him a core of people, gathers to him these leaders, gathers to him these mighty men. And it's a result of the commitment and the covenant of these mighty men that David is installed first as king over Judah and later over all Jerusalem. Thank you for ever fed me a line. My brain's a little bit tired. But he's 7 years over Judah, and then he's over all of Israel. And it's quite a moment of victory for God and for his people. Look at 1 Chronicles 11, verse 9. So David went on and became great, and the Lord of hosts was with him. My gosh, that ties into this morning. God is with Joseph over and over and over. God is with Joseph. Well, God is with David, and that's why he's winning. That's why you'll win. That's why you'll overcome. The greater one lives on the inside of you. You're able to make it. Come on, God's with you. If you've been born again, you've received him. He's with you. So God's with him, and he becomes great because God made him great. Verse 10, and these were the heads of the mighty men who strengthened themselves in his kingdom with all of Israel to make him king according to the word concerning Israel. So you don't miss the New Testament application. God wants to touch America. God wants to touch the state of Alaska. God wants to touch your family. God wants to touch my family. God wants to touch this community, and he's going to do it listen closely, is he's going to do it through committed people. He's going to do it through people who will say, I'm into this thing. Let's make Jesus King of Kings and Lord. He already is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, yes. But enthroning him in a region requires a company of committed people and a group of people that will say, you know what, I'm going to do what God called me to do. I'm going to be one of the mighty ones. I feel insignificant at times, but I'm going to just say, yes, I'm going to obey. I'm going to be a part of the life group. I'm going to be a part of Connect. I'm going to be a part of youth. I'm going to be a part of a worship team. I used to play the trombone. Can I be a, yes. Just go and be a part of that. Go through Discover Track. Find your place, because God is gathering a people like he did for David to establish David as king. He's looking for people to lift up the name of the Lord, to establish a strong church, to establish a great outpouring. It takes people. It takes committed people. What you see around you is created by hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of committed people like David's mighty men. Can you say a better amen? Our text records these exploits of these mighty men. This one guy whose name I can't pronounce killed 800 men with a spear in one battle, Eleazar. Stayed on a piece of ground and contending for a lentil field. It's a picture of the harvest. It's a picture of a harvest at full stage. That's the way it is right now, harvest as in harvest of souls. And there's a battle on right now. This picture of him gripping the sword, his hand froze to the sword, is a picture of you holding on to God's word and wielding his word and taking down the heads of opposition and lies and unbelief and moving forward. Can you say a better amen than that? Shammah, again, stood alone, defended a field. Abishai, 300 men with a spear. Wow, 300 men. Benaniah killed two of Moab's best fighters, killing a lion and a pin on a snowy day. He loved that. So God's speaking to us tonight. Something that you've probably heard if you've been here for any length of time. God wants to raise up men and women of God. God wants to raise up children. Do you know how many children's leaders we have? I mean, that just continues to grow under the supervision of godly adults. So very important. Thank God for our youth group. I think we had 130 kids and leaders. That's a record, right? 130-something. Very, very grateful. It's a drop in the bucket. It's going to continue to grow. Can you say yes? How does that happen? By committed people. You know, I want to thank Minister Toby. What a lot of you don't know is he serves valiantly on so many teams. You and Miss D. I mean, you're leading worship. I discovered how much you're leading worship and helping. I'm just like, where do you find time to manage all of your businesses and the things you do? I do not know. You're a mighty man among us. I appreciate you. I love you, man. Thank God. He's raising up leaders, raising up worship leaders, raising up teams. He's helping with young adults from time to time. Certainly leads here. And then transformations in different places. Deeply appreciate the hard work that you do. Because without that, we wouldn't be here. Wouldn't have worship. Be banging two rocks together. And I'd be slamming rocks together with the best of them. But I'm so grateful we have trained, excellent people that bring forth worship. Come on, somebody say amen. That lead us. I thank God for Pastor Tammy Choir. You are one of the hardest working people I know. You were here, ardent worker. And it's not, she's not doing it just because she works for me as part of my staff. She's driven by a burden to help people. It's people like that. And I could go on and talk about the rest of my staff. And of course, Pastor Karen and on and on and on. Chaplain Ibanga launching the chaplaincy commission. We're going to graduate a bunch of chaplains here in about 2 or 3 weeks. Is that right, Pastor Kirsten? 2 weeks. Excited about that. We've got people that have finished a stage of chaplaincy. There's a lot of different components to that. But we're going to have a time of certification and acknowledging them. That would not happen without you doing what you've done. We would not be endorsed by the Pentagon if it wasn't for your hard work. You're one of the mighty men. I look around and there's dozens and dozens that are not here traveling, whatever, but it takes a group of people to enthrone David, if I could just say it that way. It took a group of committed, diehard, all you got to see David made king. It's the same is true for revival. He's looking for people to flow through. There's no one that's insignificant. We need men and women like that who have one goal, to see God glorified, to see God's plan move forward. People who be committed to the local church. And since I'm here and this is a seasonal rally for Kings Alaska, I'm going to say it this way. Committed to the vision of Kings. There are people, when I first got here, it's like an adultery spirit. 19 years ago when I first got here, I'd never seen so many anointing, sampling. You know what I'm talking about? They just want to sample all the anointings of all the different churches all over. And I understand there's one church, but listen, one church universal, certainly. But the uniqueness of the local church and vision is also the plan of God. So we say, we just need to pray division against division. We don't have division. I'm not a party with vision, a division. I am party with vision and with God's plan. I love the church. But there's a uniqueness to every church. How many of you know that not everyone wants to come to Kings? Let's pray for their deliverance right now. Father, we pray. Somebody said, you're like really extra. I said, boy, thank you. It's just too much for me. We had somebody say, I can't come to church at Kings. I said, I'm sorry. Did I do something? Which is not uncommon if I did. I repent ahead of time for anything I might say, even for the rest of the service. He says, I can't come. I said, did we do something wrong? Do I need to apologize? I'm so sorry. He says, no, it's okay. It's just you guys are too happy. It's God is my witness. That's what happened. I said, I was going to say sorry, but are you going to say sorry for that? I'm not going to say sorry. I was like, oh, okay. I do know a couple depressed churches. Let me give you directions. If God is going to make this an epicenter of awakening, which has been prophesied, one of the epicenters, everybody say one of the epicenters, then he's got to find men and women like David, like God brought to David. He's got to find them, raise them up, mighty men and women of God to see it come to pass. Committed to the vision, committed to what God's called us to. We will have 200 life groups in the fall. I'm not pushing for that in the summer just because I'm not. But in the fall, I'm going to push for 200. You say, well, how do I get involved? They go through the Discover Track, go through the process of leadership. You said, that's so confusing to me. Every Sunday, the first four Sundays of the month, there's a class upstairs called Discover Track. That's your first step. Get in there, and from there, they'll direct you, and if you'll just follow the golden thread, you can become a leader rather quickly or get involved in the process. You say, well, I don't want to be a leader, but I want to be involved. You might be surprised what God will do with you if you'll just show up and be a part of that. There's a couple components here to being committed. The first one is to be faithful to do what you're asked to do. That's what you see in these men that were with David. They were faithful. Faithfulness is doing what you've been asked to do. But not just to be faithful. There's a lot of people to be faithful so that they get promoted. Now, it's being faithful. It's also being loyal. Everybody say loyal. Loyal. Loyalty is standing by those you're in covenant with when conflicting pressures increase. That's my definition from Teen Challenge 35 years ago. Standing with those you're in covenant with when conflicting pressures increase. It's not just being faithful, it's being loyal. It's not allowing division to undermine your work for the Lord. It's lining your thoughts and your actions and your words up with somebody. I have had many tests in recent weeks, and I'm sure I'll have some more this week. I'm going to pass all my tests. Can somebody say amen? That is my desire. God, I want to pass every test. Help me. Some of those have to do with attitude. There's times when you have to submit to things that you might not think is the best way, but guess what? You probably aren't in charge if you're having to submit to it. You missed a great place to say amen. If your boss asks you to do something or you get an instruction from something that you're required to do it, what are you going to do? A lot of people don't want to be submitted to leadership because they've been abused, and there is abuse, a lot of abuse in authority. There's a lot of authorities that abuse people. That's not what we do here. I'm never going to make you do anything. I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to preach the word to you. I'm going to pray for you. My job is to connect you with the one who will lead you and guide you, and then the Holy Spirit will direct your life. You want to obey him, though. And I will say that if you don't learn to submit to structural authority, you will never submit to spiritual authority, as in because the Lord puts people in your life. Come on, how many of you raise your hand and say, oh my, help me. Yeah, he puts people in your life, and you have to learn to do life together. So these committed ones to David is exactly what we need in the church. We need faithful people. You know, there's people that show up at 6 a.m. in the morning every Sunday morning. You know, the worship team and different ones, they work so diligently. You know, people be cleaning this place in the middle of the night tonight. Did you know that? Did you know all the different things that happen all around here happen through a group of faithful, loyal, committed people? Another thing is fruitful. Everybody say fruitful. I mean, a soldier, what kind of, it would be horrible fruit if you were a soldier, but you never won. God will win through you if you'll allow him to. And they were willing to stay on in the battle when others deserted. And I've seen, you know, I want to say thank you. As I was preparing this afternoon, I thought about a time when we had quite a few people leave the church. We had about 100 people leave in the span of a month years ago. You know, if you're 250 people and you lose 100 people in a month, then what happens is people are like, okay, something's wrong. Half the church is gone. I think it's time to slip out the back door. And we had lots of people slip out. Actually, it started with like 50, and then 50 turned to 100, and then thank God he put a tourniquet on it. But there were people like the Capos, and many of you here, but since you're right there, and the Holy Ghost just touched us so powerfully earlier in the service, I'm very grateful for you. You guys were married and you were 21, running the sound. You had no kids, and now look at you. Be fruitful and multiply. And you're one of our great pastors and one of our great leaders and worship leader. And you could have left back then. You might have even thought about it. I don't know. But you're like, I'm in. I'm all in, Pastor. And I was so grateful that you stood with me when people said things about me, said things about my wife, said things about the church. We had people shanking us and backstabbing us and all kinds of stuff. You did not want to be a part of that church back then, I'm just telling you. I see Mayor Edna in the back too. Mayor Edna, Noel, your encouragement to me is beyond anything you'll ever know. I was just thank God. I knew that you were in the church, and I thought, well, if she's still here, we must be doing all right. If her and her husband are still here, we must not be totally broken. Otherwise, they would have left too. Because I knew you to be a woman and a man of excellence and someone who carried integrity. So grateful. I think about Margaret Brockman, who's, I don't know if you're here tonight, Margaret, but it was one particular Sunday where we had lost all those people. Well, we were so hurting. Pastor Karen and I were hurting. We walked out. I walked out of the sanctuary at the end of service. We were missing all these people. Half the church seemed to be gone. Margaret Brockman, who and her husband were committed missionaries to the state of Alaska for, I don't know, 50 years, something like that. She was an incredible school teacher. Her husband was a great missionary as well, and he died in a plane crash. She was in the church also, and she was one of the original people, a part of the church, even before we got here. And I came out, and Margaret, listen, Margaret, you could drop her off in the woods. She would gnaw down trees with her own teeth, and I'm serious, and build a cabin, and have enough wood for winter, survive and have a garden, and the blessing of God all over. I mean, Margaret is just, she's a pioneer, man. She's amazing. Margaret, I love you so much. We love you. So I come out, and she looks at me with that stern look. She looks up to me and says, Pastor? I said, Margaret? She said, you're doing a great job. Keep it up. And she hits me in the shoulder. Whack! I was like, ow! Keep it up. She walks off, and I'm like, come on. Let's go! It's committed people that made this happen. It's committed people that'll move us to the next level, and the next level, and the next level. It's not fly-by-night sermon sampling spirit grape grabbers. That's not what's going to bring us to the next. It's committed people. It's committed on fire people who'll be faithful, loyal, fruitful. Is God raising up people like that here? Yes! Come on, shout to God. Ended up on the floor again. Quit playing with the red cups and become a great man of God, a woman of God. God brought victory through these for David. And that is how we have ended up here. That is how we find ourselves in a place of a building of 73,000 square feet, 1,900 people on Easter, moving to 10,000. How? By God raising up leaders. Guess who that is? It's you, and it's anyone who would say yes and partner, and it doesn't. You might have played with red cups when you were younger, but you're not disqualified if you received the blood of Jesus. Let his red cup be poured over you, cleanse you of all your sin, and get trained and grow and change. God's able to do it through you. You're important. Come on, bump your neighbor and say, I'm important. Come on, bump your other neighbor and say, hey, you're important. You're important. Lift your hands to heaven. I didn't preach long to you. I'm going to pray. Holy Spirit, thank you for what you've done. The assembling of hundreds of leaders, hundreds of life group leaders, hundreds of team leaders. Thank you that in the fall we will hit 200 life groups, 100 teams. Thank you that you're raising up a company of committed, faithful, loyal, covenant men and women of God will bring forth much fruit for the glory of God. I thank you for all those that have been so faithful for so long. I thank you for all that you're gathering from the north, south, east, and west. I call in leaders, I call in intercessors, I call in those. May this be like a New Testament cave of Adullam, if you will, to enthrone you, Son of David, King of Kings, to lift you high and glorify you above all else, to reach the lost at any cost, to make disciples, to be the church of the living God. May this truly be one of the epicenters of what will be called the Great Alaskan Awakening. May this truly be that, and it will be if people just say yes in the midst of their weakness, in the midst of how insecure you might feel, or how unprepared or ill-equipped. We will equip you if you'll help us. We can't do it for you, but if you'll show up, we'll help you. And you'll get corrected along the way. You'll get instructed. Your life will get blessed, and God will use you to touch people, change lives. Many, many years from now, you look back. But I look back in my life. I look back and I think, thank God my mother made me go to the life group. I was in my 20s. I was living in her house and she said, you're going. I'm like, yeah, well, I don't want. She said, well, you live here. You live in my house. You're going to the life group. Ken Gable. Didn't really like him, but I didn't really like too many people anyway. So don't be offended, Ken. Love you, bro. And I went because my mother made me. Thank you. Thanks, Mom. Oh, my gosh. Thanks. I would not have gone had I not been totally dependent and required. Some of you parents don't require your kids to be a part of kids' camp or children's camp. Oh, we're not laughing now, are we? It was funny before, but now you send them off to hockey camp, spend thousands of dollars on pads and all kinds of stuff, and I'm not against that, but for God's sake, invest a little bit spiritually. In fact, invest more than a little. Send them to children's camp. Send them to youth camp. It's important. Bring them to Sunday night. So it's just too late, really. It's 7:30. You're watching stinking TV till 10 o'clock at night. You know you are. The average man's watching 6 hours of TV every single day. Average man across America. Somebody said, I can't come to church, Pastor. I'm just too busy. You can't make it here for an hour and a half. Now, there's parking. That can be a challenge. Let's add 10 minutes. I mean, usually it's not more than that. You might meet some people that'll help you along your way. And who knows, maybe God will use you. He certainly wants to. Come on, say I'm important to God.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com. And may God's face shine upon you.